Currently, there are grand juries convened in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New Jersey, and other cities around the U.S., all targeting public activists and political groups. This morning, July 12th at 9 a.m., three San Diego activists will appear before a federal grand jury. Danae Kelly, David Agranoff, and Michael Cardenas, all respected and well-known activists in San Diego, have refused to cooperate with the proceedings. They could face imprisonment for standing up for their rights. While the grand jury process is secret, activists suspect it was convened to investigate the 2003 burning of a La Jolla, California apartment complex. In August 2003, Cardenas' home was raided by FBI agents searching for a videotape of a speech by environmental activist Rod Coronado. Cardenas says no actual crime is being investigated and views this process as nothing more than a witch hunt. Today, plaintiffs' attorneys will file a brief spelling out the First Amendment objections to the subpoenas. Moments ago, I spoke to Michael Cardenas by phone. Why don't you just go ahead and tell me what this is all about today? You're about to appear before the grand jury in about an hour down there in front of the federal grand jury in relation to an investigation that's been ongoing for a couple years now around the an apartment complex fire that was attributed to the Earth Liberation Front. You had your home raided by the FBI, and they seized some videotapes of an event you attended where Rod Coronado spoke. Is that generally what's going on?
Yeah, that's correct. A few weeks ago, they subpoenaed somewhere around 10 people here in San Diego, maybe the number is 9, who are all community organizers doing all different kinds of work around San Diego. Some people doing environmental work, some people doing anti-war stuff, myself working on the border and on independent media. And they gave us all subpoenas to appear before a federal grand jury. So part of the insidiousness of the process is that they don't tell you what it is that it's about. It's a secret proceeding, basically. So we don't know who exactly they're investigating. Nobody has been had any charges pressed against them. But the media has speculated that it's about the La Jolla fires. Some people also speculate that it may be specifically about Rod Coronado's speech and incident with him talking about incendiary devices and the law by Dianne Feinstein that Sherman Austin was arrested under.
What's that? What was that law?
The law basically says that it's illegal to distribute information about how to make an incendiary device. And it's a very vague law. And in Sherman Austin's case, he was running a website and someone else posted some information on his website about how to make an incendiary device, and he went to jail for a year because of it. And some people suspect that they're trying to arrest Rod Coronado under a similar charge. But that's just, you know, what people are guessing.
Hmm. So tell me a little bit about what happened. You were already in front of the grand jury once a few weeks ago. What happened?
Well, the grand jury process is designed to allow whistleblowers to speak out against the government, so it has a lot of special procedures that don't apply to your regular due process that you would expect to have. Like, for example, you can't have a lawyer present. You can have a lawyer in the next room, but you can't have a lawyer present. In one of the cases here in San Diego, the prosecutor actually told one of the witnesses, no, you can't leave the room to go talk to your lawyer. But he actually stood up and went out anyway. In my case, I went in, and I did go out to speak to my lawyer a number of times. And the first time I went in, I basically pleaded the fifth because I really don't know what sort of charges they're trying to make up against people. And so as far as I'm concerned, anything I say could be used against myself or anyone else. So I pleaded the fifth repeatedly. And then they took me before a judge and granted me immunity. And so this is a standard procedure in the grand jury where you're called to testify, and you can plead the fifth. And once you plead the fifth, then the judge grants you immunity, and then you no longer have the fifth, which is another distinction between grand jury process that's different from regular trials. So they give grant you immunity, and then you're expected to either testify or go to jail.
And so the immunity basically guards you against any prosecution that comes out from any testimony that you do or do not give?
That's correct.
So today, you're going to appear again. There's going to be a rally. Tell me a little bit about the rally.
Sure. Well, there's going to be a rally and a press conference at 8 a.m., which is in just a few minutes. in support of the people who are resisting the grand jury process. Myself and David Agronoff and another organizer named Danae, I think it's Danae Kelly, we're all basically trying to resist the grand jury process because we see it as just nothing more than a form of harassment and intimidation, and so a bunch of folks are having a rally in support of us and a press conference. There's a community support group that's been set up, or a defense group. I don't know their name exactly, but a lot of community members have come together to do support work for us and help get the word out in the media about what's wrong with this process.
What do you anticipate will happen in the courtroom?
Well, our lawyers have at this point filed detailed motions on what exactly our First Amendment objections are to the subpoenas, and a motion to quash, that's what it's called, is just to basically dismiss the subpoena based on our right to free association, our right to privacy, and also based on a few other things. In a few cases in the past, the judges have ruled that prosecutors in grand jury cases cannot ask union members who else is in the union, because they say that it has a chilling and negative effect on people's ability to be in unions and exercise their democratic rights. So that's part of our brief, citing those specific cases. And that's because the prosecution has asked us a number of times, do you know this person or do you know this person? And we see that as protected under our right to free association. So this morning the judge is going to rule on that motion and say whether or not we have to testify or whether she is going to go ahead and dismiss the subpoenas. Another part of the brief talks about surveillance. A few people that testified said in the grand jury room that they suspect that there have been unlawful wiretaps used against them, and that would be wiretaps that have been done without the proper documentation. And if that is in fact the case, that is a felony subject to 5 years in prison. And now that we have said that in the grand jury room, they have to do an investigation into it. So the judge will have to make some kind of decision about that as well.
So is there a chance that you would be taken into custody today if you refuse to testify? Is that looming over your head?
That's definitely a chance. If the judge says that no, our First Amendment rights do not apply, then we have to either go in and testify or go to jail.
And they could... go ahead.
David and Danae have said that they are not going to testify at all. So if the judge rules that our First Amendment rights do not apply, then they're going to go directly to jail, to a federal holding facility. I am probably going to try to get one last chance to testify and see if there are some questions that I feel like I can answer.
I see. What are your thoughts about the possibility of you know, a lengthy federal prison sentence or federal jail term?
I mean, my thoughts are that it would be very bad. I mean, I see it as basically a form of harassment. I mean, I really see this as basically myself being targeted because I'm an anarchist. And because I'm an anarchist, I choose to do lots of community organizing, working for the rights of oppressed people, working for a better world. And I see this as very much a way to interrupt the work that I'm doing and to punish me for doing that work.
And I guess, is there anything more you want to say right now as you're about to start your press conference? I don't want to hold you up any longer.
I guess what I would say is that the community support has been incredibly valuable. There have been times when we have to go in the court and out of the court, and they tell you to come back on another day. And there have been times when I had to come out of the courtroom and, you know, only one of my friends was there, and I needed to use the phone and whatnot, and it was really, it really meant a lot. And also the judge in our case has said that she read the article that we got in the local paper, which means that she had an opportunity to read what we really think about this process, which would have never known otherwise. So the community support's been really important. And also I would just say that folks should learn about this process and understand it and know what to do when the FBI knocks, because I had heard about it in the past, but I didn't realize until it came to San Diego what a horrible experience it is.
And that was Michael Cardenas speaking to me by telephone from San Diego, where he will be appearing in front of a grand jury in just a few moments. You're tuned to Freak Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. Stay tuned.